of presiding at a wedding here in the parish. And as many couples do, the bride and groom selected for one of their readings the famous letter from St. Paul, his letter to the Corinthians, all about love. Love is patient, love is kind, love never fails. Usually a couple will ask one of their young friends to do one of the readings, so I was surprised when this couple selected to do the reading the groom's 80-year-old grandmother. During the wedding, she had to be helped up the stairs into the pulpit, and I was concerned that she was not actually going to be able to do the reading. But then she stood in the pulpit and opened her mouth and began to read, and it was a revelation. It was as if we were hearing it for the first time. It was beautiful and heartfelt and bold and deeply moving. This woman brought 80 years of lived experience to those words that were so familiar to all of us. We were hearing her life, and I think it was a kind of gift to the bride and groom and to all of us who had the good fortune to hear it. It was a gift of wisdom and gentleness and truth. And it made me realize that what St. Paul was speaking about in that letter was more than just pretty words to be read to the people at Corinth or 2,000 years later at a wedding. It was his lived experience of Christian love. And I think it was formed in part by what we heard today in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles. At this moment, Paul, still known as Saul, was a fresh convert to the faith, newly arrived from Damascus. And as the account makes clear, many Christians were afraid of him. They knew his reputation as a persecutor, a Christian hunter. And it's fair to say that among the Christians in Jerusalem, he probably wasn't the most popular person at the lunch table. Understandably, nobody trusted him. But one person saw something more. Barnabas. Barnabas believed in Paul's conversion and believed in him. Today's reading says he took charge of Paul. But scholars think it was actually much more than that. One commentator has suggested that we would not have had a Paul if we didn't first have Barnabas, a mentor and a guide, also a figure who must have had great courage and patience and perseverance. In other words, someone who personified Christian love. Years later, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians about love, how it bears all things, hopes all things, and never fails, this, I believe, is what he meant. Not something romantic or flowery, but something that is a gift of self, that demands sacrifice and faith. This kind of love is unafraid. It is steadfast. It is willing to risk. Willing even to see beyond someone's past. In other words, a love that is willing to believe all things, even to believe that a lowly tent maker from Tarsus, a man who was a sinner and a persecutor, might have the potential to be a saint. How many of us are able to love that way? How many of us today would dare to be a Barnabas? So often, we live in fear of what we do not know, suspicious of the other, someone we may not understand or agree with or even like. We don't have to look far for examples. You see it today in politics, on talk TV, even within our own church. We live in a world that is divided, polarized, constantly in conflict. We let our mistrust get the best of us. Often we are all too eager to believe the worst about someone. But that is not the way of love. That is not the way of Christ. In the first letter of St. John that we just heard a few moments ago, the beloved disciple wrote, "Those who keep God's commandments remain in him, and his commandment is this, love one another." We will be hearing a lot more about that in next weekend's readings. But of all the commandments that are engraved in our hearts, that may be the one we Christians most routinely and most frequently break. Yet it is also the one that binds us most closely to Christ. As Jesus put it in the Gospel, like branches connected to a vine. St. John understood that. So did St. Paul and St. Barnabas. But do we? Preparing this Sunday's homily, I was curious to find out more about Barnabas. He's not one of the better known saints. It turns out he was born into a wealthy Jewish family. At some point, perhaps moved by hearing Christ preach, he sold his estate and became a disciple. Later, after Paul arrived on the scene, it was Barnabas who introduced him to Peter. And some scholars think Barnabas and Paul had known each other earlier when they were younger and had studied together in Jerusalem under the same rabbi. For several years, Barnabas and Paul worked together as missionaries, most notably in Antioch. But they eventually had a falling out over Barnabas's cousin, Mark, the same Mark who wrote the Gospel, because Paul had doubts about Mark's dedication to the faith. But by one account, when Barnabas was finally martyred, around the year 61, it was Paul who helped to have him buried. Perhaps because, as he had earlier written to the Corinthians, love never fails. Interestingly, Barnabas is not the name that he was born with. His given name was Joseph. But just as Saul became Paul, Barnabas too was given a new name by the Christians. Barnabas, in fact, means son of encouragement. And encouragement is what he gave to the growing community of Christians. And it surely describes what he offered to Paul. To offer encouragement means to support, to uplift. It is taking time to give of self, to offer a hand to hold, a shoulder for support, an ear to listen, a voice to calm all doubts and erase all fears. It is quite simply a kind of love. Let us pray to love like that, to uplift one another, to teach one another, to encourage one another. Let us pray quite simply to be Barnabas to one another.